I'm Matana DeWitt, joined by Dr. Luke Bray. Welcome to Discover Your Roots, a podcast that will give you the tools for understanding and applying the wisdom of the Bible in your own context. In season three, we're focusing on Christian advocacy. We're trying to understand how Christian theology shapes what or who we advocate for, why we advocate, and how we advocate. As sin causes our world to become increasingly more divided, our society has moved from worshiping God to worshiping self. Christians need to understand how to combat division with unity. How should Christians advocate for others? What do the teachings of the Bible have to say about advocacy? How should Christians advocate for the Jewish community amidst rising anti-Semitism? We're unpacking all of this in season three of Discover Your Roots. Well, welcome back to Discover Your Roots season three, as we talk about what it looks like to be a Christian advocate, an advocate for what's right and good, an advocate for people from a place of faith. Today, we are going to be talking about what embodied advocacy looks like. What I mean by that is, what does it look like to practically, in our own physical bodies, in our own physical spaces, actually practice the work of advocacy? The last episode, we talked about prayer and how prayer is advocacy. It's the spiritual aspect of advocacy. And in this time today, in this episode today, we're going to talk about what it looks like to put hands and feet to that. So we have to have both. We can't do one without the other. And so we'll open up the conversation with a few questions that will anchor our time together, as we always do. So the first question is, what is the difference between intercessory advocacy and embodied advocacy? So that's that kind of this the spiritual engagement of prayer, and then the embodied piece of that, where we practically do things with our own hands and feet. The second question is it enough to just pray, or must we act? I think you might be able to guess what we're going to say about that, but we'll talk about that more in depth. The third question is, what sort of actions does God require? Really helpful for us to know. So, Luke, let's start by trying to understand the nuances between intercessory advocacy and embodied advocacy. How would you describe the differences?
Well, I think intercessory advocacy, or what we might call spiritual advocacy, is like what you said, prayer. And that involves when we hear of someone's struggle, and then we take that concern to the Father. We pray. We intercede for them. We speak on behalf of them. Embodied advocacy means to take a specific action to help them, or to demonstrate, like in the real world, your support for them. So it might mean showing up in a really tangible way so that they can see that you're there with them, and that it's meaningful. So it's present with them in their situation. So might mean reaching out in a physical way, helping them in a physical way, or it may be like a public statement of support saying, like, we're with you together in this. We see you and what you're experiencing. We don't want you to feel like you're alone.
So as I mentioned in our last episode, we had talked a lot about prayer. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing, so obviously it's very important. Mm-hmm. Without taking away from its importance, do you think that prayer is, quote unquote, enough? Or do we also have an obligation to take action on someone else's behalf?
I think there's a both and kind of situation here. If we're praying and all that we're doing is praying, no, it's not enough. But prayer, genuine prayer, ought to inspire us to act, because what prayer is doing is it's aligning us with the will of God. And so if we're caring about the things that he's caring about, and we're caring about the people that he cares about, we ought to be putting ourselves out there. We ought to be stepping into the mess to help, as opposed to just thinking and praying about it. So I think the prayer inspires action. We must take sides. Neutrality helps the oppressor and not the victim.
Say that again for the people in the back.
We have to take sides. We have to step into the mess, being neutral in a situation and kind of being distant from it, having opinions, but being quiet.
Yeah.
That only helps the person who is acting as the oppressor. It never helps the person who is being victimized. Mm. So the Bible itself does not ask us to choose between prayer or faith or action, and it doesn't really let us choose either. James, we've talked about this passage multiple times, but I think it's important to really bring it into this conversation too. He says, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but doesn't have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or a sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things that they need for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Dietrich Bonhoeffer kind of said that faith and works, or faith and obedience, were like two sides of the same coin. You can't have one without the other. They're inseparable. If you have genuine faith, then your life will reflect it by active obedience. If you're actively obeying Christ, it's joined and kind of started by a heart of faith and belief. So both of those things go together. James, what he's saying, it challenges the idea that faith is only about belief. It emphasizes that true faith results in action, obedience. So you can pray for someone in need, but if you have the means to help that person and you don't, were the words that you actually said in prayer, were they actually genuine? Mm. Because you could have helped them too. Mm. You could have answered the prayer.
Yeah.
As a means of God's grace, you could have helped, but you didn't.
Mm. It's like seeing someone who's hungry and be like, well, I'll pray for you.
Yeah.
Really, I'm praying that God provides some food for you. Like, I go with God.
Yeah.
Like, you know, kind
all
of
the
a,
while you have like a pile of cheeseburgers in your, yeah, your seat next to you, right? Mm-hmm. Prayer isn't supposed to be a substitute for action, but it's supposed to be a catalyst for it.
Ooh, that's good.
So yeah, when we pray for justice or the well-being of other people, we must be prepared to step in and take part in that justice. Mm. Advocacy means standing with the hurting and being the agents of change in our communities, not simply wishing that better days would come or that things could be different or hoping for peace. We're supposed to be the agents of change. Mm-hmm. I think one of the best parables to talk about this idea of like actually doing the hard thing and stepping into a mess is the story that Jesus tells about the Good Samaritan. Mm-hmm. We see this in Luke chapter 10, but there's this story about this man who's beaten up on the road and left for dead, and then the Samaritan comes in and helps him, takes him to an inn, and so on and so forth, and he recovers. But Jesus is using this story to illustrate the call to love our neighbors, not just in word or in sentiment, but through real action. Mm-hmm. The Samaritan didn't feel, well, he didn't just feel sorry for the guy. The guy was beaten up, left for dead, and he could have walked past him and been like, man, that's a bummer. I really feel bad for that guy. Hope somebody comes along that can help him. He didn't do that. He actually steps into the mess and helps him, puts him on his donkey, takes him to the inn, gives him aid in life-changing ways. So this parable shows that advocacy is about loving our neighbors, especially those who are hurting, those who are marginalized, those who are being discriminated against. It's a direct command from Jesus to care for those in need through concrete actions. Not just in words. Jesus is not only concerned with spiritual well-being, but he's also concerned with physical and material needs that people have holistically. So as Christians, if we're going to walk in the way of Jesus, we have to care about body and soul.
That's powerful. You know what you mentioned just now about the Good Samaritan? I think it's interesting how tempting it can be to ignore divine interruptions.
Mm-hmm.
When we have our plan, we have an agenda, we're in the car going somewhere, we don't want to be, so that's a distraction, we don't want to be interrupted, like, oh, my plan is now all messed up because now I have to go help this person. You know, it's like we have a wrong perspective on it because mm-hmm. we're so focused, and I say this, you know, knowing that I'm guilty of this as well.
Yeah, me too.
So focused on what I want to do, my plan, my agenda, that whenever the Holy Spirit brings this divine interruption, you know, we talked about whenever we are image bearers of God, it's not that we have the choice to help whenever there's an opportunity. It's not that we're doing extra to do that. That's like what we sign up for in following Jesus.
Yeah.
The opportunity to do good is the responsibility to do good. So when we have those divine interruptions come our way, you know, we have that example of the Good Samaritan who didn't just keep on going and hope for the best for the person.
Right. But
he took it on himself. He realized when he saw, it became his responsibility.
That's right. Yeah, the prayer and action, they go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. So prayer is essential, but it can't be where we stop.
Mm-hmm.
We can't stop just at prayer. Prayer is the foundation that moves us to act.
Yeah.
And that faith compels us to lived out kind of obedience. And without practical steps, our faith really is incomplete.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be joined.
Wow. This may seem kind of like an obvious, or the answer to this question may seem kind of obvious, but why do you think God expects us to take action? What's his goal here?
Well, God has effectively deputized his people to help seek justice. That's what it means when he's called us into the mission of Jesus. We're seeking out his kingdom rule in the world around us and in the lives of those around us and in our own lives. So we have to do the things that he does and seek the things that he does. There's a quote by Elie Wiesel that I think is really powerful. He says, "We must always take sides. Neutrality helps the oppressor and never the victim." We talked about this just a few minutes ago. This is the actual quote. Silence, this is the part that I really want you to get. Silence encourages the tormentor, not the tormented. Weissel's words are so powerful. Even as we were kind of thinking about them earlier, just hearing the clearness of this, silence. We can't be silent when people are being hurt. We have to actually step up and do something about it. Mm-hmm. We have to say words. We have to speak into it. We have to walk into it. The implication of that quote is that when evil occurs, to not take a side publicly is to pick the wrong side. Because Jesus doesn't do that. Micah 6:8 says, "He has shown you what is good, to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." God calls us not only to love mercy and to walk humbly with him, but also to act justly. Justice is more than a concept. Remember, it's rooted in the very character and nature of God. It's something that we are required to do. Loving mercy and walking with God are spiritual practices, but acting justly is the tangible expression of our faith in the world. Advocacy becomes the practical way we do justice.
Mm.
So we're advocating for the poor, we're speaking out against human trafficking, or we're helping marginalized communities. All of that, it's acts of justice. We must act where there is injustice.
Mm.
Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 58, he says, "Is this not the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice?" This is, he's speaking on behalf of God. What does God require of us? Does he require fasting? If he does require fasting, he's saying, this is the kind of fasting that I want. I want you to stop the things that are happening in the world that are bad, that are unjust, that are broken, that are wicked. Isaiah addresses empty religious rituals and shows that true fasting or devotion means breaking the chains of injustice and caring for those who are weak and vulnerable. Our worship of God is tied to how we treat others. If we're praying and fasting but ignoring the needs of the oppressed, our devotion is anemic and incomplete. So like, think about that in relationship to like our Sunday gatherings. We come together and we worship and we, you know, depending on our tradition, we put up our hands, we weep, we cry. You know, there's passion that's being shown. There's passionate pleas for people as they hear from the word of God being preached. And then if we walk out the door and that's it, I think that's what he would say. That's not the kind of fasting or that kind of worship that I want. It needs to be all about your life, not just one episode that you have on a Sunday morning. Because if that's it, that's anemic, it's incomplete.
Yeah.
But the worship that he requires is a worship that penetrates every part of our lives and cares for those around us. Practical advocacy should not be separate from our spiritual lives, but it ought to be a reflection of our spiritual life. God is pleased when we take action on behalf of those who hurt and those who need justice. John, in his first epistle, he says, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions in truth. Mm. Love and faith have to be demonstrated. This is true. Love and faith have to be demonstrated in action. Practical advocacy is a reflection of God's love working through us.
So good. So scripture calls us to a very high standard then. Loving your neighbors yourself is a nice thing to say, but actually harder to live out. I mean, yeah. We see, as you just described, this experience of going to church, worshiping from a very wholehearted place, but then you leave the doors and you go, all right, let's go eat lunch, and it's just back to normal life, and it doesn't really change much of how you go about your own life. At times it doesn't, and it should. Yeah. Which is an easy rut that I think many of us can fall into without even really noticing it.
And the point of that is not to say going to worship together with the body of Christ is bad or like not a good thing. It's let that thing permeate the rest of your life. Like, look at the rest of your life through the lens of that worship.
Yeah. So take it with you.
Take it with you where you're going.
Yeah.
So that when you're looking at the world around you, the people in your relationships, those who are hurting or broken, those who are being harmed, like that worship, that understanding, that clarity that you have in that moment with who Jesus is and what he's calling you to do, like, let it lead you in those moments too.
Yeah. Oh, so good. So good. What are the reasons why we as Christians don't take action sometimes, and how can we overcome those obstacles?
I think there's a number of misconceptions of faith and works. There's a common belief that faith alone is enough. But as we saw in James 2, faith and works go together. And I'm not talking about, can you earn your salvation? That's not what I'm talking about. But faith and obedience, those two things, they go together hand in hand. They can't really be separated. And I think James is right with that. We're not saved by our works. God doesn't look at us and be like, you know what, Matana, she's a great person. Look at all the stuff she's doing or she's going to do. I'm going to save her. No, that's not the way it works. He looks at all of us and we have nothing to offer him. And he saves us out of his own kindness and his grace and his mercy. But true faith, when we believe and trust in Jesus, when we're walking in the way of Jesus, it is always accompanied by action. So I think some of the reasons that people have a problem stepping into the mess, which is sometimes advocacy, is they have a fear of getting involved. Some people are afraid to step into advocacy because it feels risky. It really does. Or it feels very overwhelming. Like, I don't know all the facts. I don't know all of the sides. I don't know what's going on with this person or this group of people. But Jesus calls us to take risks. And he calls us to pay a heavy price if we're going to be his followers. Matthew 16:24 says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Mm-hmm. So this walking in the way of Jesus, caring about the things he cares about, caring about the people that he cares about, is risky and it costs. So practical advocacy, actual loving your neighbor as yourself, doesn't always mean like large scale action. It can start with small steps. Mm-hmm. Like supporting local causes or helping a neighbor who's in need. Right?
Would you say probably even should start there?
Absolutely. Start small. Mm-hmm. Start small. Make those small incremental changes so that you're prepared to do the hard thing, the big thing, maybe when Jesus puts it in front of you. So sometimes we're afraid. Sometimes we lack clarity on what should do, what is there to be done. So sometimes Christians feel unsure of how do you start. So I think starting small, that's obviously a good way to do it. The key is to pray. Pray and ask God to give you discernment and to look for the needs around you. Because there's people all around us that are in need, that are hurt, that maybe feel marginalized, that have experienced abuse or brokenness. God has uniquely positioned each of us to be an advocate in different ways. And I think one of the most important things to remember is that God, he doesn't make mistakes. So when you reflect upon your life and you kind of pause and take an account of who you are, what are the circles of influence that you have? What relationships do you have? Do you think God just kind of woke up today and was like, oh, that's right, I forgot you were there? No. Like, he knows exactly what you're doing there. He knows why he put you there. He knows why you have this relationship and this friendship, and why you go to this convenience store or this gas station and you're encountering the same people every day because you have patterns. Like, he knows exactly why he put you where he put you. So explore that. Figure out what it is that he wants you to do with those relationships. Mm. He's uniquely positioned you to be an advocate in your life. So listen to him.
Very simple advice there. Listen to him. I love it. So let's wrap up this episode by discussing, what does this have to do with Christian advocacy? I think it's pretty clear.
Yeah.
I think we've really kind of driven that point home throughout the episode. Any closing thoughts you'd like to add?
I think that Paul's words in Galatians 6 are really powerful for us. He says, let us not grow weary in doing good. Mm. And I mean, just, you could stop right there.
Yeah.
Don't grow weary. Don't get tired of doing the right thing. But then he goes on, he says, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, not just some people, but everybody that we encounter. Let us be a force for good, a force for rightness. Doing good requires perseverance. It's not easy because we're like swimming upstream. And maybe even more so like the is it salmon that they actually swim upstream, but then they swim up waterfalls, which is kind of ridiculous. And I don't know how you do that. But that's what it's like living in this world and being an agent of good and following in the way of Jesus, is we're not just swimming upstream from a culture that is anti-Christ, but we're trying to leap up waterfalls to get to people to help them.
Oof, wow.
So like, persevere.
Yeah.
It's hard. Advocacy is not a one-time act, but it's a lifelong commitment to righteousness and justice. And sometimes the work can feel very tiring, but Paul is encouraging us. He says, press on. Keep doing it. We're called to look for opportunities to do good. And so practical, embodied advocacy is often about recognizing the needs that are already around us. So whether it's in our own community, whether it's in your workplace, or whether like God's saying, look at the world globally, what is happening in the world? And he calls us to step up, to do something, to help.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amazing. This has been really edifying. Thank you for that. Let's think about the takeaways. So what are some of the key points that we want to really sit with from this episode? Number one, there's a difference between intercessory prayer and practical embodied advocacy for others, but both are completely essential. The Christian faith requires us to do both. We should pray for others and look for opportunities to meet practical needs and support our friends. And remember what we've been talking about, the simple opportunity to do good for us who are image bearers of God is the responsibility to do good. Number three, on that point, there is a heavy responsibility, but engaging in both prayer and embodied advocacy is how we seek justice and love our neighbors well. So next episode, we're going to continue an important measure. We're going to consider an important measure of success for advocacy. Are we truly helping others and lifting them up, or are we just making ourselves feel good? So that's a heavy question, a lot to consider there. And we will see you in this next episode.
Thank you for joining us for this week's episode of Discover Your Roots. For more resources, check out the links in the show notes and follow us on Instagram @PassagesIsrael. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.